This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
You know what he reminds me of? There was once this one, you know that Christmas carol that is really hard to reach the notes? I think it's Fall on Your Knees. Opera singers or really like Celine Dion should be able to sing that. Should be allowed.
Right. And now, Nat King Cole.
I'm not finished.
Unforgettable.
Well, that's actually good.
But
that's
in every way.
He actually.
And now, Nat King Cole's daughter. Unforgettable.
He actually has it down. I have to
not
tape.
So good.
No, he's brilliant at that. But he wasn't brilliant at the first one. That was a real bomb. But I want to say, he reminded me of, in his bombship of that first carol, of this guy. He thought he was so great. He was singing Fall on the Knees. It went viral, right?
What?
And the guy was serious, man. He was serious. He was singing out. Was it at this talent quest? Every note cracked, like the worst crack you could only imagine in your nightmares.
Fall on your knees.
It was
but
so
why?
Good.
That is what I don't get. Why it's too early for the Christmas songs? I refuse.
I believe to sing them in June. Danny. No,
boys and girls, it's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene Allison, Pearl Barrett, and I'm Danny Valdez, and we're here again to butter that biscuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
Buttery and Leslie Pops and John are here as per usual,
and we're not talking about plant butter. We're talking about utter. Butter.
Utter butter.
I love it. But just, you know, back to the point, Pearl. What made you the Gestapo of Christmas carols?
I feel like I have a good sense of balance in life. Actually, if one could say, what is one of Pearl's talents? You know, we can't all be talented at everything, but I know my talents.
Okay.
Okay. I don't even like have
putting
to push
me in
them
my
forward.
Place. Is that one of them?
Yeah, but I know I have a good sense of generally what is a good balanced approach to life, and I have a perception of what would be well received, or what's over the top, shall we say.
Huh.
Christmas carols before Thanksgiving on Pearl's,
barometer?
On my barometer, and my barometer is so on. It tells me no.
It tells you no.
Tells me don't do that.
That Christmas carol should not be done before Thanksgiving.
That's what my Pearl's barometer says. And Pearl's barometer, I will put that barometer next to the most accurate barometer of the world.
Well, let your barometer zing and ding, because I pride myself in being totally unbalanced.
I know. You put too much cumin in everything, and I always try to pull you back off the cumin.
I will be creating. Like, I will be sewing. I'll be making something. And she's like, there's too much cumin on this blanket.
That's her word for Serene's life, too much cumin. Mm. But I love her for it.
Pro, what if you're off? What if it's all about breaking the mold? What if it's getting out of the circle?
Even getting out of the mold is on Pearl's barometer.
Yeah.
Because I don't like molds. Like, Pearl's barometer says being out of the mold is a good thing.
Yeah.
Don't follow a sheep. Don't follow like a sheep, says Pearl's barometer. But also don't be obnoxious.
So maybe you want to save, because I get it, you know. Because, on the one hand, it's like you sing what you want when you want. But on the other hand, perhaps it's more magical if it's within the proper
container. Yes, because it's more special and you don't get tired of it. Here, I'll say another thing.
Every day is Christmas.
We're going to get into some really good meat here, and it's going to be funny meat, hopefully, because we have a title for this.
You can't call meat funny.
No, okay.
Funny meat.
But I'll say another thing. I'll omit this to you. But then I've had some... I mean, I guess I have felt a little bit chastised by the Lord about this, but these are my thoughts and feelings. When I go to a Christian service of a church service, a modern Christian one, and the one song takes 12 minutes and you repeat it over and over and over again.
Oh, no, I like it.
No, my barometer.
The worst.
Pearl's barometer says, you could have finished.
You weren't in the spirit,
7.5 minutes ago. Must I say that one more time?
What about in the Revelation where it says the angels bow down and they sing, holy, holy, holy,
yes,
holy. And I could go on and on and on.
I know.
Yeah.
See? Well, that's why I felt like, Pearl, you should stop being on your high horse.
There you go.
And sing those things. But then I thought to myself, well, the angels are looking at God and they probably have, you know, a lot much more of a magical view. And so
we're meant to have that magical view.
I know, but
take your barometer and flush it.
I think the person that wrote the song probably ran out of words, and then we're singing them over and over.
No, they didn't. They just want you to get in the spirit. Okay. And the spirit of Christmas. Danny, take it away.
Okay. No, on your knees.
Ooh. That was like that guy singing.
Here.
Okay, woman.
But when somebody sings that good, you do want to fall on your knees.
It's yeah. Amazing. Okay, hey, but guess what our topic is for today? Serene called me this morning, so I'm like, Pearl, I haven't had time. What have you got? And I just had this thought. We should talk about the benefits of laughter. Because lately, things in life are, for some of us, just thinking... We're thinking, what's going on with the 2020, right? What's going on with the 2020?
Everybody's really serious this year.
It's just serious.
It's a very sober year.
Not
you
any.
Know?
No, and I just thought we need to break that and just return to laughter.
I agree, but guess what happens?
What happens?
It's like it's the lore of, you know, of, what do you call it? When you try and tell your child someone, you reverse psychology. Yeah. It's the law of reverse psychology. Normally we will bring some meat and then start laughing over nothing and it'll be hilarious. And the podcast will be actually quite funny. I bet you today's will be the most boring.
Don't speak
studious,
it.
Unfunny, because we're talking about being funny.
Serene, way to speak it.
Well, sorry about that. It'll be hilarious.
Even if we're not funny today, we can talk about the benefits of being funny. Yeah. Of not necessarily being a comic, a stand-up
comic.
Sometimes
when it's very, very serious, that's when it's the most funny. Because remember, Pearl, when we used to sing?
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we would have to do well for the record company. Yeah. And you know, they'd advertise the event and they want to bring in, I don't know, whatever they wanted to bring. They wanted to sell the merch, mm-hmm. merchandise. They wanted to be a good event for their town, city, whatever was going on. They wanted to be successful. Well, you and I, because the pressure was on, would find it so funny that we would get the giggles in the second song on stage and not be able to pull it back, rein it in.
Well, and the more you realize, like, this is serious, now get it together, girls, because people are here.
Well, you're lucky you're not.
There'd be like 1,000 people in the audience, and Pearl and I would just be like splitting ribs.
No one else laughing, Danny.
No, nobody. And you're like, okay, this is serious. You try and think of serious things. You try and think of very serious things.
Yeah, I've had that.
And you can't get it together.
I went and did an open mic night. There's nothing as painful ever. Ever have I experienced anything as painful as that night.
Really?
It's one thing
to
not...
You didn't get people laughing.
Look, I tell jokes all the time that no one knows is a joke.
Yeah.
So sometimes people laugh, sometimes they don't laugh, but there's no pain in that because I never announced, prepare to be amused.
That's what I was trying to say. We were announcing this wasn't about love.
Yeah, when you go up to an open mic night for stand-up comedy, it's already an announcement that... You are to be funny.
Yes.
And get ready, people. Like, you're putting the mic to your mouth and you're saying by that motion, get ready to laugh. And when no one laughs.
Ooh. That's why Mother's Day is such a hard day for most mothers, because it's prepped in her soul that today must be filled with love. And
that's
if it's
true.
Not.
That's
it's
right.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, though, Danny, you are like one of the funniest people I know, but only naturally. I hear you tell jokes and I usually don't laugh at them.
No, they're bad jokes.
But I laugh at you, not at your jokes. So
thanks.
But
thanks. It's good to be laughed at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't actually laugh at jokes. I hate jokes. Actually,
they're funny.
No, I only laugh at things like when somebody walks out of the restroom and there's accidental toilet paper trailing their heel for like... You know, a good 100
Let's
yards.
Let's get on with this, guys, because we are 8 minutes 51 seconds in.
Well, can I just say a good old scrippy?
Oh, you're going to bring the scrippies first.
I'm going to bring the scrippy.
We're trying to laugh.
This is good. It's biblical to laugh. Yeah. Do you know that God, Danny, I'm going
to
give you a
Sunday
school lesson.
We're going to have to hear about the plight of the unrighteous.
Listen. We're talking about laughter as therapy, right? That's the title of this whole thing.
Yeah, no, it's true. So bring the script.
Who's the great physician?
Jesus.
God.
God's.
That's right. It's the same thing anyway.
Yeah.
So tick for both of those. Okay.
Maybe. Let's go
Proverbs
to theology school.
Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine. That's what the great physician says. A joyful heart is good medicine. But you know what the great physician says? He says.
What does he say?
He said, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones.
Yes.
So laughter does you good, but a stuffed up, like you take life too seriousness. that dries
and
up the bones.
And I brought so much science to back up you what
you just
science, said.
I'm going to say some scripture, and I brought science too, but you go with the science, but I'm going to say a couple.
Oh, keep going on the scripts. Okay, I thought you were done.
No, but I love the NLT, the New Living Translation, renders Proverbs this way. I love it. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. That's unbelievable. But, you know, just a little bit of science before I go to another scripture too. Do you know that there are certain treatment centers, nothing to do with religion, and they're just, you know, total medical facilities that are starting to do what we titled this whole thing, laughter therapy. They're starting to do laughter therapy because they realize that it fights depression, it fights stress, it fights diabetes, and it burns calories. And Pearl's going to bring the actual research.
Yes, I am. You're just
it helps arteries. It boosts blood flow. It actually lowers healthcare costs because people actually get well when they become people.
Can you let me say all those points one at a time?
Okay. But let me go back to the scripture then and just stick to my.
All right. What you I'm stick good with at. Your scriptures.
Okay. Okay. But I also want to do this is not a scripture, but it's not necessarily research either. So I just want to say it. I believe that laughter carries people through hard times where they normally would fold.
Yes.
So laughter isn't just about a good joke. It's not just about when you see something funny. Laughter is an anchor. Laughter is what you do when times are tough, not just when you hear funny. And so some more scriptures. This is the day that the Lord has made. The good old golden oldie. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24, that was what that was. Psalm 126:2, we were filled with laughter and we sang with joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to bring us to laughter, but we just have to look deep, right? Proverbs 15:13, a glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes a spirit. And just a couple more. Proverbs 15:15, for the despondent, every day brings trouble, but for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. And let's just think about that. It didn't say that their situation was different. It just said for the despondent, meaning the outlook, if your outlook is despondent, every day will be trouble.
Yeah.
But for the happy heart, that same day is a continual feast.
That's huge.
Actually, I'm not going to go down the list of scriptures because it's just going to put it in. I'll just shout them out in between your stuff.
Yeah, shout them out when they go. I want to say something right there because when you said that, over a century ago, and now I know the word is the ultimate in, you know, poignant things that we can bring, but William James was an American physician, a doctor, a philosopher, educator, who many consider the father of modern psychology, said this, we don't laugh because we're happy because we laugh.
That's so true. And you know what? He wasn't all that wise. No. He just copied the Bible.
Yeah, I know.
He just copied good old Proverbs 15:15.
Exactly.
Copyright.
Yes.
Fraud.
Plagiarism.
But it is so true, right? And so I'm going to talk about today. I looked into a whole bunch of studies about, Denny, get this, forced laughter.
Yes.
Even
I believe in it.
So there's hilarity laughter when it just spouts out of you because something is funny and it has all these health benefits we'll talk about today. There is actually something called forced laughter therapy where you actually tell yourself, okay, I'm going to laugh now. And the things it does for your body is mind-blowing.
Sure.
Listen, we have an auntie called Auntie Kate and she's one of my favorite aunties in the world because we had this little game, Pearl. I don't know if she played it with you. She played it with me.
Yeah.
It was actually at a time where she was just left by her her first husband. He just left her high and dry. They lived on the border of the Alaskan border, up there in the freezing, and he just left her for some cowgirl. He was a cowboy. Left her for some young cowgirl and left her in this cabin with freezing, no firewood, chop, no nothing, and she was just gone. She came down to live with us, Rob. I'm just telling you, that was the scenario of this situation. And when she was living with us for that season, she used to do this thing. She'd come sit by me and she'd just open her mouth as wide and hilarious as possible. Like think of the most hilarious jaw, you know, like cranked open on purpose. And she would hold it there until the laughter came and then she'd say, do it. And she'd have me do the same thing. And we would just be like, if I could just show you my hilarious face right now, you'd start laughing too. But it was a forced laughter. But I believe I don't think she knew that it was good for her. She just did it.
It was instinct somehow to get her through.
Yeah, but she did. She got through with hilarious humor. Mm-hmm. And now she's married to a wonderful man, has a beautiful daughter.
I laughed so hard with my wife one night that I busted a blood vessel in my neck.
Oh my you did.
On the right side. And it still
hurts. And
this
is all about laughter actually being medicine.
Laughter is actually supposed to heal you, but...
No, it hurts sometimes.
It does.
Yeah, it does. When you laugh. So, it was out of control.
Yeah.
It was absolutely out of screaming control. And I was nervous because I couldn't breathe. And I was like, it was mixed emotions.
Well, the benefits of laughter are believed to be rooted in our nervous system. By putting the cart before the horse with self-initiated laughter,
yes.
You tap into an innate feedback loop in your body. Mm. Any type of laughter stimulates diaphragmatic breathing, activates your parasympathetic nervous system, and triggers the tend and befriend response.
You know, if you read that slower, people wouldn't even know you're reading that. And they'd take all that intelligence that you're reading and pertain it to you.
Yeah, okay. I would have read it in my natural voice.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. I want to talk about your vagus nerve. We've talked a lot about your vagus nerve
here. Just a lesson in teleprompter reading.
I'm not reading this now. That's why I sound more normal. You know, what do we find out? What stimulates the vagus nerve? The greatest thing is love, yeah. Right? It's the vagus nerve stimulator. When your vagus nerve is on, it turns on your immune system. It turns on healing powers in your body. It turns off your diseases. All sorts of things like that. But laughter, hilarity. Actually, strong laughter. The stronger you laugh, the more it turns on your vagus nerve.
Smiling
turns on your vagus nerve, but not near as much as laughing. Yes, Dan?
My gut doctor guy that was very instrumental in helping my body heal has a clinic with another doctor that they do together monthly. It's called the Constipation Clinic.
Yeah.
And I said, do you have all kinds of clinics that you do like this, little clinics? And he goes, nope, just the constipation clinic.
Yeah, I love it.
And I was like, why the I mean, so this is a huge issue. It's a big enough issue that you guys have an exclusive clinic for constipation? And he said, absolutely. He goes, you would be shocked at how many people. And I said, well, what's the solution? Like, what are you doing in the constipation clinic?
Yeah.
He goes, all we're doing is teaching people how to remove stress out of their life.
Right. Listen, you try and laugh
Doctors.
And hold your sphincter tight. It doesn't work.
I'll try right now.
your
can't be done.
Your sphincter's always loose, Dan.
Hey, listen, do you know with 15 minutes a day, with 15 minutes of laughter a day, just 15 minutes, and you can laugh a lot more than 15 minutes a day, you're burning 40 calories.
Yes.
No, they say you are.
I actually looked that up and mine said 10 minutes, Serene.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go with 10
minutes. Maybe that's why I'm so thin.
Yeah. I know. You're always laughing, Danny. You
I'm
are.
Constantly laughing.
So in 15 minutes a day, that's just 4 pounds in 1 year. What if you keep going and laughing for the next decade and more? You might disappear.
Laughing also.
Do you need to rhyme?
Yeah.
Is it poetry time?
Laughing. And
I just rhymed.
Not to mention what it does to your abs. Laughter is one of the best ab workouts. Have you ever, you know how you hold your stomach when you laugh so much?
Sure.
Because your abs are working so hard.
Yeah, they call it the deep-rooted belly laugh.
Yes.
The deep-rooted belly laugh. It tones the belly. It really does. It's absolutely amazing. But can I just say things, Pearl, when you said forced laughter, I really jived with that. And I'll tell you why. Because one of the things I wrote down here on my little teleprompter is that laughter – actually, tell a joke. I'm trying to find my spot.
Tell a joke.
Tell a joke. You better be funny,
Oh, yes.
Right?
Laughter isn't just expressing – your hilarity at something. Sometimes laughter expresses confidence and security in your life. Because in Proverbs, and I love this. This has been an incredible, inspiring verse to me because I used to be bound by fear. And this is one of my inspiration. You know how people have inspirational things if on their workout room, they'll have the Nike, just do it, and the person covered in sweat and determination on their face.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to have this written on my wall. It's helped me so much, but I have it written in my mind. The woman who fears the Lord is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future.
Mm.
And so laughter to me is also my confidence. I am confident. And then, of course, in Job, it said he laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. So sometimes it's just I am so confident.
And you know what it is? It's an antidote to fear. You know how we did that whole party, Serene, put off – you know, the Bible said, put off, you know, heaviness, put on joy, yes. put off this, put off that. It's all through the Bible, just telling us exactly what to do. You know how everyone these days, it's so like hip to be present with your emotions. No, just be present with your anger. It's okay to feel that. You know, everyone's like, no, be one with it. Experience it. Don't suppress it.
My barometer's
it.
Going bam.
But like, the Bible is completely different. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say suppress it. It's got a completely better scenario.
Yes.
It's put on something else instead of that. So yes, that's
instead
what
I of the love. Despondent outlook.
Yeah.
You know, you put on that happy outlook and then every day is a continual feast, even when the day is hard.
Like, and the Bible says, put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, right? So yes. it's got an antidote for everything. And that's what you were saying, Serene. Laughter is actually something you can put on in place of fear.
Yes, exactly.
And what it does for your body, because so we know with one fearful thought, 1400s, I think it is, different stress hormones mm-hmm. are released in the body.
And that's just the one thought without all yes. the added things that come with the cascade of thoughts that
so
come along with
it. So it's very bad for your body. People yeah. say be one, you know, it's okay to experience, it's okay to be fearful, it's okay to be angry. I say no, it's not, because you're doing your body a disservice.
Yes.
All these other things that we were designed for, they're okay because they actually heal our bodies.
Well,
so let's
the redeemed emotions, anger, yeah. You know, fear and all that. That for the garbage.
Yeah. So, and I know this is really contrary to what current, you know, pop psych tells us. I know everyone's like, no, be one with them, experience them. But I think it's really, I think what you're saying, Serene, it is garbage because it's hurting our bodies.
Every time I just, I have gone and just let myself hang out with a bunch of boohoo thoughts.
Yeah.
My day's junk.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, and then if you continue in that, the next day's junk and the day after that, it is a pitfall. It is not just a little experience.
So let's talk about pain relief. Okay.
Yes.
Laughter, how it relieves pain. They actually did a study where they showed people funny movies. Mr. Bean was one of them.
Oh, okay. Can I just stop me there? If you guys have not seen, and he can be a little crude and rude, but have you seen the one Mr. Bean's Vacation
yes.
or something? Yeah. The one where he's at the, restaurant and he's trying to put the big old lobsters yes. in the lady's purse? Funny.
Yeah, Mr. Bean funny. Is classic comedy.
Yeah, it's funny.
I mean, he doesn't reach for like, just to shock people
no.
to say shocking words or anything. He's just, it's pure comedy.
His face is just to crack up.
It's the best.
So Mr. Bean was one of them. So then they tested people while they were watching mm-hmm. Mr. Bean and other things that had them outright laughing. They tested them with pain.
Yes.
Okay, so they wrapped things around their blood pressure cuffs too tight. They made them sit against the wall. You know how you do have a squat set and
yes.
you have nothing holding you and
yes.
see how long they could do?
Yeah.
So while they were laughing and actually, you know, watching something funny and then when they weren't.
Yes.
And they tested their pain, how they felt pain, yeah. how long they could go with pain. And when they were laughing, it was all significantly they experience less pain.
Hey, can I just shove a thought in there? That's why when we exercise, we feel pain and it's hard and we say, how many more reps? I feel like a dying cockroach. But when the children are playing outside, they're jumping around. My children are jumping around in painful positions, squats, all kinds
but
of things. But
fun.
It's not exercise. It's play and they're laughing. And because of that, yeah. It's not
actually,
as uncomfortable.
I know, and I actually want to bring some studies about laughter and exercise together, Serene. You're going
yes.
to find it very interesting.
Go for it.
Anyway, so they found out through these studies that pain thresholds are significantly increased versus when they were just sitting there and weren't laughing. Now, this is a very interesting story. There was a man called Norman Cousins. He wrote a book called Anatomy of an Illness and Reflections of Healing. So I'm going to get down to this here. He was blindsided by a sudden onset of this unidentified and crippling illness. He discovered this self-discovered strategy for regaining his health, and he called it the prescriptive use of laughter as medicine. And this is a quote. I made the joyous discovery, this was in the 70s, so this is interesting, that 10 minutes of genuine belly laughter had an anesthetic effect and would give me at least 2 hours of pain-free sleep at night.
Wow.
When the pain-killing effect of the laughter wore off, I would switch on the motion picture projector again back in the 70s to watch Marx Brothers movies. It would lead to another pain-free interval.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? So he actually worked his way out of this debilitating illness.
Well, we've said it so many times on this potty, Pearl, about what our mum said about the guy who was dying of cancer. He only had 3 weeks to live, so he got all the funniest movies and thought, well, I'm going to laugh my way out. Well, he didn't go out.
Yeah.
He was healed. It's unbelievable.
So I actually had another. Oh, okay. So back to that exercise thing.
Yeah.
Wait, where is this study? I just found it this morning. They took a bunch of senior citizens. Here it is.
That was precious.
Here he is. It was a 6-week study. Participants attended 245 physical activity sessions per week that included 8 to 10 laughter exercises lasting 30 to 60 seconds each with the regular exercise. So this is interesting, Serene, because of our work-ins.
Yes.
You know our work-in exercises, and they're funny, right? Yes,
and our crazy dance.
And we do crazy dance, and we have all these pictures in the work-ins of ridiculous things like bullfights and things.
And we're so not funny that we're funny.
Well, guess what? We didn't know it, Serene, but we're actually smart.
Are we, Pearl?
Yes. When you laugh.
I want to tell my math teacher that failed me that I'm smart.
Yes. When you laugh, when you exercise, all the benefits of exercise are accentuated.
Oh.
Not only do you get fitter, all the things like your cardiovascular health and all that goes up, and you can do more because you're laughing.
It means I need to exercise more with you.
Your pain threshold goes down.
Pearl looks so funny when she exercises.
It's better to laugh. It's not better to frown and grunt and do all that stuff. It's better to laugh.
Play comedy exercising. While you exercise instead of like intense music.
And even people that exercise and they take it too seriously, I think cortisol gets turned on. They get less results, and they actually can actually put weight on in the middle.
Yeah,
and exercise when it's done, like the biggest chore in the world, when it's ticked off at 4:30 in the morning and all that, when it's been taken too seriously, it defeats the purpose. We've seen it over and over again with people writing in, I'm at a plateau, I can't lose weight. And we come to find out there's some of those like intense exercises that feel compelled, like it's almost like a compulsion. I can't be happy unless
I tick the box. And this doesn't mean, well, I have to wait until I feel humorous and just want to exercise because I'll feel, you know, things are going to be funny then.
Forced laughter, please.
Forced laughter works too.
Laughter, once you start and it's forced, you realize what a weirdo you sound like, and that becomes funny.
Yeah, for real.
They have rooms where people all get together and force laugh, and then they're screaming and crying.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you see this on YouTube.
Yeah, well, just take a good old Pentecostal.
Pentecostal. Oh,
we're not. Well, I'm just saying, laughter gets a little bit crazy.
Oh, yeah,
I haven't been to one of those churches, but I've heard about them.
I've heard about them where they
I
all
went
laugh,
to one for years.
Where the spirit makes them laugh. Oh, were you in one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, the laughter and the spirit.
I hated it the whole time.
Oh, well, I'm not saying anything against it because I
no laughter comes from
I don't know.
Danny.
Laughter's good in any way, I think.
No, I was
think
at
we need to pray for Dan.
No, I was at Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs land. It wasn't
maybe
like
you
people
were the one
having
that
a good
to
laugh.
Live it, Danny, of your seriousness.
People had collars and were being led around like animals.
Oh. Well, that's a bit
it was insane.
I might love
that's
those
big crazy.
I kept going back for the entertainment.
Hey, so let's talk about some of
the
benefits you're going to get. Let's just go through them. Laughter lowers your blood pressure.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes, I wrote that down on my TikTok.
Okay, good.
Too. Tick.
Good for you. Okay, we talked about pain relief. Let's pass that one. Let's go to the next one, which would be...
We've said it burns calories.
Yeah, but... Okay, reduces stress hormone levels. This is huge.
Yes.
Because stress hormone... What do stress hormones do?
Well, cortisol being the death hormone.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it stops your ability to lose weight.
Yes. Yes, and it also suppresses your immune system. In 2020, massively. You better start laughing, people. You better.
You got
it. It weathers your face.
It's a mandate.
Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
I'm Serene. This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
John needs to say something. Oh, he always goes to Denny. He doesn't want my spit. He would take a boy's spit, but not
Pearl's.
Yeah,
he reckons only girls give corona.
So, I'm going to get turned around here.
See, that was funny, Serene.
Sorry, Danny. So, you know, on a previous podcast, we talked about speaking to your waters, right?
Yes, we did.
Masaru Emoto,
yes.
Who is the Japanese researcher that actually photographed under microscope, water molecules that were exposed to love, hate, frustration, different types of music. And that research is out there for anyone to look at. Water molecules definitely are affected by emotion. The Emoto experiment, I think we talked about that on the podcast. Yes. Where it's been done in Asian like grade schools for years, where they'll take two jars, mm-hmm. both with water and rice in it. And in one jar, they'll have the kids speak love, positiveness mm-hmm. to it. The other jar, they'll speak negative. And every single time the negative jar molds and all. So that's proof positive that positiveness scientifically, physically affects water molecules beyond the shadow of a doubt. So that would stand to reason that since we are mostly made of water, if it's affecting, if our moods are affecting the water and we are made of water, there's other molecules as well. There's not just water molecules inside of us. There's all kinds of molecules. So it just stands to reason that, I mean, just getting down to a real basic scientific level.
And if laughter is the very expression of those positive moods, can you imagine how much more the expression, even more than the thought with the expression?
And I think it's really interesting. I mean, anybody listening, just go and look at the work of Emoto, Masaru Emoto, and look at some of the photographs that he took, and he'll show you, here's a water molecule he did it on like certain words, you know, like let's just say there was a positive word, like I, you know, a phrase, I love you, and you can see the molecule is just arranged so beautifully. It's like art. But then you take that same water molecule and you do exactly the opposite, and you tell it you hate it and you scream at it, and the molecule starts to come apart. It just arranges itself differently, and it looks chaotic. It doesn't look, you know, I mean, a beautiful. I mean, these shapes look very similar to like what a snowflake looks like under a microscope. So you've got these real beautiful geometric, perfectly aligned and balanced shapes in the positive settings. In the negative settings, they're chaotic and they're not symmetrical and they're all disjointed.
And then, John, think about that, what you're saying, right? That's pure science. It's been replicated over and over and over, and it's proof, okay?
Yeah, you can do it in your kitchen with your kids.
So what about the pop culture right now that always says be present with your emotions no matter what they are? It doesn't add up scientifically.
I think that just says don't grow up. Be an immature brat. I think that's what it's saying.
Well, and it's going to hurt your body.
Yeah. I mean, be present with your emotions. What if the emotion says hit your brother? What if that emotion says like spit on your husband? Days. What if your emotion says poop on the floor? I mean, I don't know. There's plenty of crazy thoughts that go through people's head.
You know, I can see where...
Kick the waitress.
You know, there is a mindset of... sort of, you know, running from and stuffing true feelings as well.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, I know, but for...
No, I think you should run and resist a true feeling if it's not a redeemed feeling. I do believe that. I just feel like
I think you'd be careful because I know what Danny's coming from, okay? Stuffing is where all this be present comes from because people stuff... Okay, and then sometimes it can all manifest later because they don't acknowledge maybe what happened.
Well, they
to
never
them.
Resisted the feeling; they just
suppressed
it. So instead of bringing it to the truth, I have this feeling of
truth.
Anger. But guess what? I'm not created for anger. I'm created for joy, and I'm going to forgive this person. You take that thought and you bring it to truth. So you never stuffed it; you cleansed the thought.
Yeah. Well, I would say that, for example, if someone feels shame because they are verbally abused by their spouse, and that is constant. And they, instead of saying inwardly, that is verbal abuse, and I shall now challenge you to stop, and I shall now also walk out of that. Instead, pretending that, well, that's my place as a wife. He's the leader of the home. Start to just say these like. Standards that you've said to yourself to not deal with
but
abuse
I think
in
those
your life.
Are deceptions, right?
Well, they are, but they're there is my point.
I think they're there. And I think, yes, they definitely are there, I think, they might be precipitated a lot more because it seems to me that there's a big agenda these days, like just what you were saying there to, okay, verbal abuse and the churches have...
Me too.
The churches have like lauded this big thing that men are the male abusers and the big leader of the home and all of that.
I think women abuse their men.
I know, can I say this, Serene, because sure. we've got listeners that may be in this situation. I want to say publicly, if you are being abused, I wouldn't stand there for one second. I would get out and get respected. I mean, you have to have a place in this world to be safe, and there's no reason you should be abused in a
home. I was just slamming out that statement, I mean, women are the ones abused. But what I mean by that is, of course, there's terrible abusing men, and that shouldn't be stood for. But I think on a whole, it's not always the men. And oftentimes these days, in this whole feministic turnaround, men have gotten demasculinized and been like made to feel like crap. They don't even have the confidence to be a man anymore.
For sure.
And they often don't have the confidence to say I'm abused. Well, you know, so it goes both ways.
Yeah, and so on that note, yeah, I'm, you know, man or woman, yeah, I'm a man also, instead of you know, giving in to this idea that he should not feel male emotions and be strong and exert leadership. That's also a form of abuse.
I think society has abused women too. You should not feel female emotions. You should not feel like wanting a child. You should not feel like needing to be feminine. And you know, so...
Yeah, and so whatever you're feeling on the inside, you're supposed to just like pretend you're not and then pretend that there's this, that you're this other way. And I'm just saying there is a place to notice so that you can deal with stuff.
I agree. You can say this happened to me.
Yeah.
This person, what they're doing is wrong. Okay. Let me remove myself. Let me stand up for myself, remove myself. Let me put a stop to this. But Danny, you got to think about it. Your whole life to get to where you are has been, you said it, pretending. What if you could?
Sure.
We've had whole parties of like, I wasn't a good father. I pretended to be that dad until I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look at you.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, there's some of that too. I know, I so agree with you. There's that balance of like, okay, let's not stuff it and pretend some bad things aren't happening. Let's acknowledge and let's do all that. But I think that people stay in this place of bitterness or wear the banner, I'm a victim, over their head, rather than saying, I was victimized and now I'm walking out.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right.
I think acceptance of the fact that this is wrong, to know it's wrong, is important so you can move in a positive direction. But I think keeping moving in that direction is the point, not the realization of it being wrong, because you'll stay there in the self-pity, but say, yes, it's wrong, but that was only a mental clarification so I can catapult myself forward and out.
And this is supposed to be a funny podcast, but it's serious now. But I'm glad you brought it up, Danny. It's a deep one. I think it's a very big one, because I mean,
can I interrupt for 1 second?
Yes.
About the stuffing? In the Bible, they actually hired mourners. It's so against stuffing, the Bible. They actually hired what they call the wailers. And if there wasn't enough people crying, they would hire people to cry.
Because I think
it's important to get it out and to get it out. And I actually felt, I feel so good after a big cry. And, you know, God walked me through those two miscarriages. And I didn't mean that I didn't cry, but he held me through it and he brought me to joy. But just because I was crying didn't mean I was wasn't anchored with joy. So I don't think you should stuff those feelings to cry and stuff those feelings. But I think there's a point where the world has taken this whole idea of don't stuff and they've twisted it to the point where people are just absolute being immature and not getting out of their stuff.
Yeah, well, it's like, let's live with this emotion. You know, it's okay to wear that. It's okay to feel that. Yeah. But what if it's not okay for your body? But I'm glad you brought it up, Danny. I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. You know, so you're living and you feel like, okay, there's maybe verbal abuse. This is such a difficult subject, but I'm going to try, okay?
Just give it a good try.
And this is a party. There's nothing is polished here, so it might come out wrong.
No, this ain't your book.
No.
This ain't your next book.
The books will be, each sentence will be polished,
this
but this won't be.
This is a podcast.
Okay, so sometimes there is verbal abuse. And sometimes there is what we think is verbal abuse. Don't throw stones at me. Let me get this out. It's sometimes the way you look at your marriage or your better half or your other half or your not so better half too. Mm-hmm. If there are such things as horrific things being said to you, I personally would not tolerate that.
And we're sorry for all those people who have had to go through it.
Yes, and I would say get out. Sometimes, I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with me, but sometimes I just think, I know you are, Serene, it can happen both ways, from a wife to a husband or a husband to a wife.
Well, sometimes I
can I finish this?
Yes, Let me do it. My barometer says you go.
We say things because it's so hip to be called verbal abuse that it's just a person being a human and they're on their journey, and maybe they can... We can help them work that out. God can help them work that out. But maybe it's just us looking at that imperfect person, and sometimes they get their words wrong. There's that line. There's a line you can't cross, and then there's a line of just humanity. And sure, some women are calling it verbal abuse.
Right, and sometimes it's just testosterone.
100%.
And when I want to talk about this, sometimes when I say sometimes it's just testosterone, I'm not talking about words that are absolutely, like you say, cross the line, or when it goes into actions that are just crazy abusive. But sometimes a man will say something, like my husband will say something to me, not the way I would have chosen to say it as a woman.
True.
And yeah. I had to take a step back and say, look, yeah, I don't have testosterone. So if I say something with passion and he wants to say something with passion, his is going to sound a lot more rough because I'm not filled with that same kind of hormones. Now, if I say something filled with tears and he thinks I'm insane, maybe he can have that filter too that says, well, maybe it's not insane. Maybe she's just got full of estrogen.
Yeah.
I come from a family, though, true, where it's the everything is fine generation.
Yeah.
Everything is fine. How are you? Great. And it's fine. And it's wonderful. And the kids haven't really ever connected with their parents. And their parents have never spoken any words of encouragement or, you know, asked how they were in their life ever. You know, I mean, I remember one of the first moments as an adult where I connected with my mom was over tea, when I took her out to tea as a grown person. And it was like, how are you? Mm. What's going on in your world? You know, what are you working on this week? Getting to know someone. And, you know, I have a lot of, I've always strived to really like pull each of my kids aside, like one at a time, and be like, hey, just what have you been thinking about this week? What are you doing? What's going on in your mind? Anyone hurt you? I've asked my daughters, has anyone hurt you this week? You know, has anyone, you know, and it's always no, you know, but I ask about physical abuse. Has anyone physically hit you or touched you in an inappropriate way?
I think there's such a, yeah, because, oh,
it's,
man.
It's one of those subjects that's so good, and I'm so glad you do that as a dad, and I see the beauty in that, and I love that. I can see it so easily in the world without with the wrong kind of dad that's not you. It almost make a child think that they've gone through stuff that they haven't. Like, even with my children, when we had DCS, right? Mm-hmm. Come into a house and like they ask leading
can
questions.
Can you just premise that? Like, it's just throw that out and someone hasn't been listening to this party for 3 years and know your story.
No big deal.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah.
And then all the things you're saying today, like wives abuse husbands.
No.
Someone just tuned into this party.
We'll just tune in and
I don't even
episode.
Care. Like, I'm just so over people thinking what they think about me. I'm just totally fine.
Okay, so Serene adopted like 5 million children and a couple of things happened and it's all clear.
Well, you know, we got DCS in our home and they asked my children leading questions.
Just edited out.
And sometimes, you know, it's sometimes leading questions just lead children down the wrong path that they would never even thought.
I know, because there could be a victim mentality then. But I think, Danny, you're good.
Your mother lets you wash the dishes.
Guess why? No, but Serene, guess why he needs to protect his girls? Because
no,
there were
it.
Many decades where girls weren't protected.
Look,
no, I'm you look at Danny. Our generation, so many women were sexual abused because people didn't think to ask.
Look, when I was little,
I'm so for Danny. It's
when
just,
I was little, my stepmother with Xanax and every pill bottle you can imagine spread all over a nightstand pulled me aside and tried to convince me that my father sexually abused me.
Right.
Okay, so I get that. Yeah. I get where people implant things into your head. I absolutely, you know, she was trying to build this case against him. And so yeah, like I think my perspective is a little different, because while I get the movements that try to emasculate men and try to create Me Too problems where there are none, That's all real, but just as real.
Yeah, I agree.
Just as real is, you know, this everything's fine culture.
Can I say something? I think this has gone such a different direction, but it's good. Okay. There was this whole thing, wild dating years, 60s, 70s, everyone's having promiscuous sex and, you know, whatever, and everyone's like multiple partners and sexual diseases and all sorts of things, right?
You mean the world at large?
Yeah, the world at large, okay. A lot of Christians even, okay, they maybe were involved in that. They came to be believers and they decided, none of that for my children. Oh my goodness, can you imagine what we all went through and how that messed up our lives? I want my children to court and not kiss until they get married and barely hold hands because look at what we all went through, okay? So because there were some real issues, they swung to an extreme because of what happened, and now it's getting weird the other way.
Now it's like they're going from nothing to full intimacy and no sweet holding hands, innocent little.
Where's
tiny
all the
step
middle ground?
Step?
And so I see what you're saying too. There was a whole big, how are you? Fine, I'm good. Everyone pretending everything's okay, and not maybe sharing that there's an abuser in their family, or not maybe sharing that this is happening. There's an alcoholic who's bashing me every night. There were some real bad things that were happening, and now finally they're being told. Okay, fantastic. But let's not swing to the other side where we live under a banner, or we live under this, I'm a victim, I'm at one with my anger because of this that happened to me, or I'm not going to say I'm fine when someone asks me how I am.
Yes,
I'm
going to
say
too?
I'm messed up, but guess what? Yeah, I'm almost finished.
No,
screen.
You are awesome.
There was, you know, you look at the studies, they ask people, how do you feel? The people said that I feel well or I feel good lived so much longer and they were in better health. We've also got to be careful how we how we present ourselves, right, Serene?
No, and I wasn't saying you awesome and like, please shut up so I can say my wonderful points. I wasn't. I actually was like, you know, like, amen, sister, hallelujah. But I wanted to say I like that balance, but I'm so inspired by my mum and dad, who are those people that say, they don't just say fine, they say fantastic.
Yeah.
My dad has kidneys right now that the doctors say have totally failed. His, you know, I don't need to go and say everything else about him that's going on in his body, but he should be.
He's 80.
He's 80. He should be like on the bed, like, can I have some water? I'm not fine. And he's out doing all kinds of things, digging potatoes from the garden. How are you, Dad? Wonderful. Fantastic.
he shouldn't be walking around
right now. I just fainted 10 seconds ago, but I'll be good. Up I get. Yeah. And I see his life and I see the joy. Every day is wonderful. Every day he's always asking about, but how are you? But let me know about you. So he's so not like so consumed with self, even though his situation is worse than my situation. But it's just his attitude is so, life is fantastic. And I am fantastic for all these wonderful reasons. Forget those few that aren't. So I think there is this beautiful balance, Danny. And I love the way that you are the father you are. And I think that's beautiful. But I think it has to be balanced. And we don't need to hear it from the wisdom of the world's way. Like, be present with every emotion. Or if you're not fine, you got to be realistic and say you're not. I think that's... And I don't think you're doing it from the wisdom of the world. You're doing it from the wisdom of a father, a godly father, and that's different. And I think you'll know how to pull it back when you need to. But I do think we can't just espouse to just one flung outside and say, this is where we camp.
Yeah.
This is good. Makes me want to laugh.
I know. Leslie
None of us are laughing
like, somebody
now.
Tell a joke.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
I just think, you know, these discussions aren't happening much. You know how right now we're all in a new phase of, like I'm saying, okay, so there was Me Too. It was so needed. Me Too was needed. I went through in Australia. I lived as a young teenage girl. I went to work at restaurants. And I wish Me Too was back then, okay? Because it was shocking. Just, you know, okay, so there was like just sexual innuenos everywhere you went.
But
I mean,
it was just normal to you.
It was normal to me. I
back
got
in the good old
it.
Days when if you were over 70, you can slap a stranger girl's butt.
I mean, all the chefs were slapping the waitresses' butts and I just had to live with it. I'm so glad that has stopped, especially for my daughter who can go out and be a waitress. Now, I don't want that to happen to her. So, Okay, good for the Me Too. But is there an extreme with the Me Too? You bet there is.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Some poor men are getting wrung through yes. things that they don't yeah. need to. They right. can't even look at a girl sideways in the workplace.
Yeah. I mean, let a man who doesn't have a wife yet, yeah. let him have a little bit of like, you know, just normal.
A little bit of flirtation. I mean, and people don't even know what to do these days. So,
I'm married. I've been hit on in public by yeah. women, and I'm never offended.
I know. So
I had this one chick in a wheelchair.
Right?
You want to talk comedy? This gal rolls up to me at the Columbia Walmart.
Yeah.
In a wheelchair, right. and her buddy's behind her in her motorized cart. They're in motorized carts, and they don't need them. And they're drunk, by the way. They reek yeah. of alcohol. Yeah. They're just partying in Walmart. There's not much to do on Columbia.
Partying Walmart.
You know, get drunk, cruise
Columbia
around.
Columbia Walmart's scary, I'm sorry.
They're basically go-karting for no money. And they go-kart up to me, and she goes, ooh, you got that good hair. Talking about my curls. You know, my yeah. hair was grown out a little longer. I was like, thank you. And she goes, You want to make a baby?
Oh my!
Oh my! Goodness.
And I went. Thank you, but no. And I wasn't like, oh, it says yeah. in the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like lose it on it. I was just like, it was hilarious.
I know. See, because,
but I'm a man. I'm right. in a man's body.
It's
so
sort
mad
of
respect.
Not really fair right now. I was on a cruise ship last year when cruises still happened. Yeah. And there was this group of women, and they were all partying together. You know, they were on a cruise together, girls' cruise, and this young Latin. He looked like South American. He was one of the waiters, and they were giving him such an almost abusive. I was
like over
at
the
next table, and I was like, "This is horrible." The poor guy,
yeah,
you know. And I thought, but if this was a group of men doing this to
oh,
a woman,
in jail.
It wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
it used to happen, and I'm glad that it doesn't happen. But
and Pearl, have you
six extremes happening?
Have you heard of all these divorces? You know, yeah, my husband was verbally abused. My husband was verbally abused. But sometimes when I'm sitting in a Walmart restroom, and I hear yeah. a woman next to me in the toilet on the loo talking to her husband,
yeah, it's really
foul. I want to lock her up.
Y'all do
I
that?
Told you to pick up the trash. So you didn't pick up the children?
Yeah.
Well, it's just so bad. I want to hit her.
The nothing fight? Yeah. Those are so fun to listen in on.
It's just so abusive. Like the poor guy that has to live with that. Better to live in the corner of a house than with mm-hmm. a nagging wife like that. But you know what? I love Ecclesiastes 8:15. It says, so I recommend having fun because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat and drink and enjoy life. That way they'll experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun.
Yeah, fun's good. And that's why I always come to these parties and we're always laughing here. I always go away and have one, like my shoulders so relaxed. Oh, that's what it does. Okay, so laughing, let's see. It gives you about 3 or 4 hours. What was it? I wrote it down here. Where all your muscles relax and you have less tension in them. It boosts your T cells. T cells are your specialized immune system cells. So laughter activates them, immediately begins to help you fight off sickness. We're done. We're 51 minutes in.
But I want to say,
it's your
triggers
podcast.
The relief of endorphins.
This is the laughter podcast. People can keep it going. I've got stuff to play.
I got to play this. Okay, ready?
What did you say, Leslie? You had something? Could she play this and then come?
Okay, hold on, guys. I want to play this real quick, right? Real quick.
We communicate in
Spanish.
But
I just want to say, if people have heartburn, they need to start laughing.
Really?
Well, I just put two and two together because it just says here that laughter, it causes the chest to rise and fall and the stomach muscles to work so much harder that it helps everything to tighten up from the throat all the way down to the tummy, you know?
Oh, that's sort of like gargling too.
Gargling? Yeah.
Gargling turns on you. It's one of the... What? What is this?
Just wait. See, hear this? This is a bird.
The kookaburra?
I want this bird. This bird could heal the nations.
That's a bird?
It's a bird. Everyone should own one.
No way.
Can you imagine living in that house?
Look, if a bird can do that, what can we do?
Oh,
and look
my goodness.
Up, everybody. I don't have time right now, but you've got to look up the laughing quads. It's a group of quadruplets. Yeah. And they start laughing, and then they start laughing at each other, and they can't stop these four babies. Oh, sorry, stop this YouTube.
Oh, the babies.
You've got to look up babies laughing sometimes. The Bible says you can't enter in the kingdom of heaven unless you come in like a child. I tell you what, the one thing children have got going for them, they laugh. Everything is funny. Poop humor, all the way down to everything. Everything is funny.
All funny.
It's all funny.
Yeah, and children laugh and so much more than adults.
Say, stop laughing. Stop laughing.
I know.
Be serious. Well, God says, no, you start laughing, please.
People who laugh live longer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The more you laugh, the more it adds to your years on life because it takes down your stress hormones. Stress hormones are the ones that kill you off, you know.
Yeah, let's have good marriages and let's watch some funnies together and laugh and tell a joke and But what was the funniest thing that's happened to you in your life, Danny? Or we could be more specific and say this year. I want to go around and as we close.
Oh, baby, you're really going for the long one. This can be a long potty. It's 54 minutes in. I do want to say, yeah, we'll do it. Laughter helps you live longer according to a study.
It's a shell.
A Norwegian study. I wasn't making that up. A Norwegian study found that those who laugh more had a strong sense of humor outlived those who didn't laugh as much.
I love it.
And especially those with cancer, they found out.
Yeah. And the more you do it, actually, it's like a habit. And the more it will just naturally happen. And you'll be one of those people that everyone wants to be around because it's just you take life just as a funny thing.
I mean, no one else can relate to it because it was this inside thing. But the funniest thing that probably I've ever laughed at is one of the things that hurt my neck. it was late one night and our kid was in a crib sleeping. And I was just doing this, like I do skits, I like perform for my family all the time. This time, all my family was in bed and it was just my wife awake. And I knew she was going to walk past the room. And so I got ready and I was leaning over the kid's bed like a vampire, like just doing this weird move. And she just had her camera phone out at the time and she snapped this picture of it. And there's no way to even explain this, but I looked like a vampire, like a real vampire. And it was hideous and horrific and hilarious. And
you laughed so much.
We laughed so hard and we stared at this picture and we would laugh until we cried. And and then we fell asleep.
You know, I betcha, you know, talk about cementing a marriage. You know, when you look back at your family life and your marriage, I mean, one thing I love about you and Lisa is, you know, you're funny together.
Yeah.
And you're funny with your children. And I bet you when they look back at memories of you, it's going to be my dad doing skits.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're always performing. My kids are always doing little skits and trying to make me laugh, and they're never funny. They're just they're getting there. They're starting to get better. Yeah. They're getting a little older. Yeah.
But it's first funny that they're not funny.
Yeah, they just come around the corner and they're like, poop. And then they look at me for a reaction, and I'm just like, get away. Get away. It's not, like, I don't want to reward their bad humor. I want to train them to get funny.
I'm sure he rewards them. Pearl, what's your funny thing?
Oh, my funny thing. I might have shared it here when we first started the podcast. It wasn't sort of funny at the time, although it was, because everyone laughed at me.
Yeah.
But I didn't really laugh at the time, but now I just laugh and laugh about it. Yeah. I was in high school. You know this, Serene.
Yeah.
My first year of high school.
Yeah.
And in Australia, you have to wear uniforms.
Yes.
So you have a sports uniform and a regular uniform. Your sports uniform is a small black skirt, a tank, and your special black undershorts to go with your black skirt.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have the undershorts. Now, that morning when I woke up, there was a problem. I couldn't find any underwear.
Oh, no.
So I found these big, large white ones.
Our mums.
Mums. They were too big for me. They were falling off, but I was just like, I did a little safety pin with them. So I went to her, and now Serene, you and your friend had done special painting on some underwear, right?
Yeah, it was getting creative.
It was special paint pens. It said, Jesus loves you on the underwear. They were practicing, okay? So that morning, these were the only underwears available for me. Jesus loves you. Big, old-fashioned, big white ones.
Almost thick material, like trainers.
Like a good tattered battle flag.
Oh, yeah. So I was wearing those under my special black short skirt. Don't ask me why. I thought I could go to school like that. But that day, it was my sports uniform. I know. But I was very much of a nerd in high school. All I sort of did was read, but I was not in any cool crowd at all.
I can believe this.
Yeah, totally.
You just started talking.
I was a late bloomer. Like, I didn't go through puberty till 15 or 16. So I was just this really skinny, awkward looking kid with freckles all over her face. And that day it was gymnastics. So everyone had to do the forward roll. Everyone in their black little shorts under their skirts. And it was my turn.
And this is not a Christian nation. No, it's
this is Australia. This is Australia with our crew.
Any religion you
so
say
I
on the beach.
Did the black. I did the somersault. I got stuck.
Upside
with my
down?
Behind in the air.
She says, loves you.
With granny panties?
My little skirt fell down and all that was up in the air was Jesus loves you, white underwear, and I couldn't get my little body over top of my head.
That's incredible. So you know what would have made my day as an adolescent? To see one of my female schoolmates with their panties saying, Jesus loves you.
And you know, for a whole year, I just got points at me when I would walk past.
Oh, that's the girl.
Oh, I'd have walked up to you every week and been like, hey, tell Jesus I love him too.
Yeah, now I laugh. I think about it, but I don't even know how I got through the rest of the day.
That's so funny. That's
sort of mean, but yeah, I laugh.
Yeah.
What's your Serenian?
Oh, mine's censored. I can't do my latest. My latest funny this year was just too funny. I just personally laugh at it. I just personally go to the bathroom and laugh. Just laugh my head about it.
You can't say it. So why even bring it up here? Oh, you're wondering it's not purely G-rated?
No, it's probably just Mr. Bean. It's probably only
PG.
About that. It's
oh, come
probably
on about with PG. It.
But I've got some funny ones, but that's from the past. But this recent one, I just went to a wedding and
come on now.
And my daughter was trying, I was just talking to wonderful friends of mine.
She's
very beautiful.
Yeah.
This lady's very beautiful, very buxom too. And I was talking to her and her husband, and my little 2-year-old it was the dancing part of the wedding, and everyone was dancing. And so she was kind of dancing around, but I was trying to talk, and she was kind of pulling my arm behind me because she was kind of twirling around. And it was outside wedding and it was kind of, I was on uneven ground and she pulled my hand to the point where I lost my balance and I started to fall. And I just instinctually went and grabbed the nearest and bestest handholds and I just grabbed the ladies. Lovely buxom handholds. And I didn't even know. I wasn't even purposely.
By lovely buxom handholds thing, she held herself up by the lady's boobs.
I didn't mean to. It was an instinct. It was just like whatever's there, I'm just grabbing on and stopping my fall.
It was just present matter.
It was just, yeah. And I didn't fall. And luckily the lady was very sweet about it and laughed too. But
saved by the
that
breasts.
That was it. But I just went to it was an outside wedding. Of course, they had out just like porta-johns. I just went to that porta-john and had a good laugh for like half an hour straight. It was the best wedding in the world because I just had the inside laughter. It was just the funniest thing I've ever done in my life. It was such a Mr. Bean. It was just the best.
It's beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Goodbye, world. Nothing, Mama, my way. And then I'll be nothing, Mama, to stay.